We're just seconds away from a conversation with Heather Mattson in our continuing series of meeting various candidates seeking election to the Iowa State House. Heather is running for the Iowa House in District 38. That's parts of Ankeny, Sailorville, Sailor Crocker, and Delaware townships in Polk County, Iowa. It's a mixture of suburban and rural households. Meet Heather Mattson. Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible through the support of Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service marketing agency that creates desire on the part of consumers for our clients' products and services. Learn more at insightcubed.com. Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. We're continuing our look at various individuals running for public office, not only in central Iowa, but across the state. And with us is Heather Mattson. She's a Democratic candidate in House District 38. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Heather. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about what District 38 for the Iowa House, what does that encompass?
Sure. District 38 is 12 precincts. It is, generally speaking, the south side of Ankeny, starting at 1st Street, heading south, goes all the way down to the Des Moines line. So it includes Sailor Township and Delaware 1 and Des Moines 1, as well as Crocker 1 and 2.
Urban and rural.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. So it's suburban as well as unincorporated Polk County. I like to think of it as kind of a microcosm of Iowa as a whole.
Well, when you're knocking doors, that makes a big difference in what geographical area you're at. All right, let's talk a little bit about you. Where are you from? What have you been doing? And why have you decided to run for the Iowa House of Representatives?
Well, I'm originally from Rhode Island, lived in D.C. for 5 years after college, and moved to Iowa in 2003 with my husband for him to go to medical school at Des Moines University. And we fell in love with Iowa and decided to stay. And we've been here in Ankeny for the last little over 5 years and absolutely love this community. And, you know, I decided to run for the Iowa House because I believe that voters deserve a much more open and honest conversation about some of the challenges and opportunities we have in the state, and because I think we need to be investing in Iowans again. And for me, that's everything from prioritizing and fully funding public education in the state again to ensuring access to high-quality, affordable health care, particularly fixing what's happened with Medicaid and really investing in mental health. And fundamentally, I think this is all about economic security for working families.
Talk to us a little bit about working families and security. As you know, the last legislative session, the legislators decided to gut, if you will, a Chapter 20, this collective bargaining opportunity that was, by the way, put in under Governor Robert Ray and voted on affirmatively by a Republican-controlled legislature. What has that done?
It's been awful. And I'll tell you, I remember when they first started talking about doing this at the beginning of the legislative session in 2017. And I was so frustrated and, I mean, quite frankly, angry about it because it wasn't anything that they had talked about when they were running in 2016. And you're absolutely right. This is a process. Chapter 20 collective bargaining had been in place for 40 years, put together in a bipartisan manner, and they managed to undo it in 2 weeks. And I think that regardless of how you feel about the issue, I certainly am a strong proponent of collective bargaining. But even if you're not, you got to look at the fact that this is just bad governance. You know, you don't take something that's worked well for 40 years and completely destroy it in 2 weeks without any real input from those most affected.
There's another issue that just reared its head over the past week or so, and that has to do with IPERS. Sitting Governor Kim Reynolds received a $50,000 donation from a wealthy business person in Missouri who is an opponent of publicly funded retirement programs like IPERS. Where is Heather Mattson on all of that with regard to IPERS and how it's going to work for Iowans in the future?
I think protecting IPERS is one of the most important things that we can do, both for the health of our state as well as in supporting, you know, in supporting Iowans, because there are so many Iowans who rely on IPERS for their retirement. And it is something that puts, you know, hundreds of thousands, actually millions of dollars back into the economy, you know, every year. And one of my biggest concerns is this talk of the possibility, you know, of changing it to a defined contribution plan for future retirees. Well, this is a problem for a lot of reasons. First of all, I believe that we need to keep it a defined benefit plan because I believe that that is in the best interest of Iowans as a whole, and it protects the economic security and benefits and that retirees will need. But the reason why it's such a huge problem to even propose this and possibly do it is that the way IPERS works as a pension program is that, you know, current workers are paying into it now for future retirees. degrees. And if you stop paying into it to do some kind of crazy 401k plan, then it's a self-fulfilling failure, right? A self-fulfilling prophecy for failure, because you're not actually putting the money in it now for the future.
Heather Mattson, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about her race in Iowa House District 38, which encompasses quite a bit of Ankeny and Polk County. Healthcare. This is an issue that I know Democrats are running on all across the United States. You are having door knockers out and about all over. Governor Martin O'Malley is back. Does he have an Iowa driver's license, by the way? I've got next time I see him, I'm going to ask him that question. He's here so often. Senator Amy Klobuchar has been out stumping for down ballot candidates. And I hear from time all over the state about health care and health care issues affecting working families. Talk to us.
Health care is... I don't even know if I can adequately express how much of an issue it is, certainly in the state and, of course, in the country as a whole. And I see this from so many different perspectives. You know, first of all, Medicaid privatization has been an utter failure, both for patients and providers alike, whether it is the complete lack of reimbursement and the millions of dollars owed by MCOs to providers that are, you know, we're watching rural healthcare providers closing because of not getting paid on time or not getting paid at all. And that's creating healthcare deserts all across the state. And then on top of that, you've got patients that aren't getting the care that they need. We've seen some patients dying because of it. But we also know that this didn't happen before. You know, so I've talked to countless administrators and providers and patients, but most importantly, I've talked to people at the door. You know, I have knocked thousands of doors in this district, and healthcare is the number one thing that people bring up to me. Both the Medicaid piece, but even more so is mental health. And that has been a huge problem, certainly in the country. I don't think anyone denies that. But it's a huge problem here in our state. We are 50th in the nation for the availability of acute care beds. We are, I believe, 49th or 50th for the number of prescribers for psychiatric medications. And so, again, we talk about healthcare deserts all across this state. Even if we have a bed, chances are it's not the right kind of one. And, you know, I had a heartbreaking conversation with a woman whose door I knocked probably about a month or so ago now at this point. And literally 3 days before I had been there, her son had attempted suicide. And before that, her daughter had attempted suicide. So the mental health crisis in this state is huge. And if we are not going to address it, then we are failing everyone in this state.
Another healthcare question, if I can. Outside of Medicaid and the state's run MCO program with regard to private public companies running that. There's also concern from the business community, Heather. They are getting increases in health care insurance costs 10, 15, 20%. And business leaders all across the state of Iowa are telling me, so I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to afford to either A, pass this on to my customers, or B, pass this on to family members. So when we talk about a concern about health care, this is really impacting individuals outside of Medicaid. Would that be accurate?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is another conversation I have with folks. And I think it goes back to the fact that we need to be having a much bigger conversation in this country, not just in this state, about how healthcare is provided and paid for. A lot of this has to be done at the federal level, because certainly Iowa as a state doesn't have the buying power. We don't have the size of an economy to be able to do everything we might want to do. But I think at the very least, we need to be talking about a public option in this state. And, you know, I want to make sure that we are not going to the lowest common denominator of care. When the last legislature passed, or the last session, they passed this bill, you know, to help the Farm Bureau create a so-called health insurance plan, or, you know, a health benefit plan, because quite frankly, they can't even legally call it insurance. It does not provide consumer protections. And if something happens to you, you are out of luck. And so my biggest concern is that we've got a legislature that's decided that they're going to go to the lowest common denominator, help a trade organization or trade association be able to do something, but it doesn't actually help Iowans get quality, affordable care.
Heather Mattson, ladies and gentlemen, she's running for the Iowa House in House District 38. Thanks so very much for spending time with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.